7. And one of the things that is right is a thing called justice. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And I want you to know something. There is never a sin that anybody ever commits against God or man that's not going to be dealt with. Either dealt with when Jesus paid for it on the cross, or dealt with by having that person face judgment. When a person dies and they're not saved, and they wake and lift up their eyes in hell, I wonder what they must think. How shocking that would be. Because just a short time before, even though they may have realized they were going to die, if they would have known there was a hell, they would have asked Christ to save them. And just in a few moments, they go from ignorance and bliss to eternal suffering. If you look in Esther chapter 6, you can see something interesting. At the end of verse 9, in Esther chapter 6, at the end of verse 9, Haman is feeling pretty good about himself, isn't he? He's got a plan to kill the Jews. King, he, as far as he's concerned, the king thinks highly of him. In fact, he's promoted to the pretty much second in command in the kingdom. And then in Esther chapter 6 and verse 9, at the end, he says, at the beginning of verse 9, Haman says to himself, you know, that I'm trying to find the right place there. Let's see, okay. Oh, here it is in verse 6. Haman thought in his heart, to whom would the king delight to do honor more than to myself? That's chapter 6 and verse 6. Now go to chapter 7 and verse 10. So they hanged Haman on the gallows. Quite a change, isn't it? Going to see some things about the judgment of God tonight. I'll let you remain seated, and I'll just read chapter 7 to you, and then we'll have a word of prayer. So the king and Haman came to banquet with Esther the queen. And the king said again unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? It shall be performed even to the half of the kingdom. Then Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition and my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, to perish. But if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage. Then the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther the queen, who is he, and where is he that durst presume in his heart to do so? And Esther said, the adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. And the king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace garden. And Haman stood up to make request for his life to Esther the queen, for he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. Then the king returned out of the palace garden into the place of the banquet of wine, and Haman was fallen upon the bed whereon Esther was. Then said the king, will he force the queen also before me in the house? As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. And Harbona, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, behold also the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king, standeth in the house of Haman. Then the king said, hang him thereon. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you that we know that in the new heaven and the new earth, where we're going to live for all eternity, that when we arrive there, Justice is going to have been served. All sin is going to have been punished. There will be no more sin. There will be no more temptation. There will be no more sickness or sadness or death. Lord, thank you that you are a righteous God. Lord, we thank you for that because we also thank you that you made a way for us to be saved, for our sins to be paid for. Because judgment is a horrible thing when a guilty person has to face it. God, tonight I ask you to help us to think of the salvation that we have and how we have been protected, how we have been forgiven, how our judgment was placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, just as his righteousness was given to us. God, help us to be thankful for that. And then help us also to understand that you are a just God. And as we look out in this wicked world and we see people doing wicked things, killing unborn children, doing wicked things, the violence and the hatred and the perversion and all the things that take place in this world that are being promoted even by leaders in our nation, we realize that there is not any sin that will not be dealt with because you are a righteous and a just God, and justice will be served, and judgment will come one day to all those who have not trusted Christ. Lord, help us tonight, just in a few minutes, to see the things you want us to see in the Bible and to be encouraged by it. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Look at the words in this passage. Pacified in verse 10. It says the king's wrath was pacified. Talks about how they hanged Haman on the gallows. Talks about him being an enemy. Pretty powerful words. A terrible event concludes the chapter. A man hanging on the gallows. We were sightseeing, I guess it was in Tombstone, and they have the courtyard or the courthouse there that was back in the 1800s. And as you walk by one window, you look out, and they still had a gallows out there where they would hang people. And just a horrible thought that someone would die that way, be executed for their crimes. But that's exactly what happened to Haman in verse 10. Judgment is the subject that dominates the chapter, the judgment of a wicked man. Look at some things about that judgment. I won't be long, but just three or four things. And they're not just pertinent to Haman's judgment. They're pertinent to the judgment of anybody who's a sinner that goes unsaved. And that judgment of God, the judgment of God has certain characteristics, and I'm going to show you four of them. And the first one is it takes place at a specified season. Now, even though Haman, back in chapter 6, thinks things are going wonderfully, God already knew what he was going to do. And what's interesting, I suppose you could think about it, although it may be a bit of a stretch, but when Haman saw things going wrong, when Mordecai was promoted and when Haman had to lead him around the city with the king's garment on the king's horse, crying out, "This is a man the king wants to honor," when things started to go wrong for Haman, it wasn't too late for him to make things right. But you know what's interesting? When people are wicked, after a while, they don't want to make things right. And they just seem to keep going down that same path. Joe Mark may very well preach a message this time he's here where he reads from a passage in the Proverbs about that, that there is a time when wickedness is judged and there's no remedy. Haman has not shown any evidence of wanting to make things right, but things begin to go wrong. There is an appointment that had to be kept, and the appointment began with the banquet and ended at the gallows. Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment." Once to die, and after this, the judgment. But folks, for you and I, when we are judged, what does God see? Does he see our sin? He sees the righteousness of Christ. Because our sins have been separated from us as far as the east is from the west. The righteousness of Christ is what he's going to see when he judges us. But every man who dies is going to be judged. There are two types of people. There are the righteous and there are the wicked. Judgment occurs at a specified season. Every single person alive on the face of the earth right now, God has appointed the time when they will step into eternity. And God is big enough. There's no waiting line. There's no delay. Don't you get tired of having to wait for things? You call somebody on the phone to help you, and an hour later they finally get on the phone and talk to you or whatever. Mrs. Dahlman trying to get her surgery and can't even get them to answer the phone. And when they do, they tell her, "Oh, come back in a week or two." No waiting for judgment. God's got an appointed time for each of us and for the lost as well. There is an appropriate subject for that judgment. There's somebody who's going to be judged. People are destined to be judged. And what's interesting is they're unaware of their fate. Even when Haman's there in the banquet, up until Esther speaks, he's thinking things are going pretty good. In fact, he was pretty happy that he was the one invited to the banquet, not realizing it was a banquet that was going to seal his doom. Oh, isn't it amazing? You talk to somebody and you try and you try and you try to convince them. There is a God. There is a hell. There is an eternity. There is a need for a Savior. If you reject that Savior, you're going to spend eternity in hell because that God is going to judge you. And people think you're crazy. I wish they didn't. I hope God opens their eyes. Amen. Haman's a classic example here. He doesn't know what's coming. He's planning to hang Mordecai on a gallows 75 feet high, and he's planning to kill all the Jews, and as far as he's concerned, he's doing just fine. And people in the world that are unsaved, folks, there's an old saying, I suppose you've heard this, you got to get them lost before you can get them saved. They had a session at the men's conference and talked about, you got to get folks to realize that there's a problem, that they're sinners, and that there's a God who's going to judge sin. And, you know, missionaries go to lands like Thailand, and they have to start out by teaching people there's a God that created them. We get past that a little bit, but we understand there's a God. He created us. We're accountable to Him. And we saw the problem, that our sin was going to send us to hell, and we turned and asked Christ to save us. And those folks need to see that, but they don't. They to the day they die, they don't. We were really blessed on Tuesday. Pastor Manuel came and preached chapel. It's been a great week. I had good fellowship with Steve Harris Monday night. Had good fellowship with Pastor Manuel Tuesday morning. And we just talked and talked and talked. And we were finishing up in the parking lot. We were talking about that. There's a book. I think the man that wrote it's named Lockyer, L-O-C-K-Y-E-R. It's called Last Words of Saints and Sinners. And it's got accounts of a lot of people that were... they were atheists, they were infidels, they were enemies of the Bible, and the things that they said on their deathbed. But then it's too late. And right up to that point, they thought everything was okay, and then just like that, just like with Haman, all of a sudden, eternity in hell. He had been a deliberate enemy of God's people. He was wicked. And by the way, Esther didn't hesitate to say that in verse 6. He was unrepentant, and he had received... he could have changed if he would have wanted to, but now he's going to receive a judgment from which there is no second chance. Folks, there's no purgatory. The Mormons teach that when, I don't know where they got this, that when you die, you'll have another chance to accept Mormonism. Unless you rejected it in this world, and then, that's a different story, but anyway, it's all fairy tales anyway. But no, when you die, that's it. Your judgment is at that point in time, and there is no more chance. There's no more repentance. There's no more second chance to get saved or anything. The appropriate subject of judgment was a wicked man who determined to kill the Jews, and God dealt with him. There was a satisfaction in that judgment. I like verse 7. The king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace garden. I don't know if folks understand it or not, but folks, sin makes God angry. You might have a hard time thinking of the Lord being angry, but just think about this. What did Jesus do when he went into the temple and saw them, the money changers? He made him an instrument out of some cords, and he drove them all out. And he was not walking around peacefully saying, "Would you please leave?" He was angry. Sin makes God angry. I'm trying to think of the verse that talks about God being angry with the wicked every day. And folks don't understand that. Now, the king was angry because of what Haman had done when he found out the truth. And the king goes out into the garden just to kind of calm himself down a little bit. And then he comes back in, and his wrath results in judgment, which then satisfies it, as we see in verse 10, the king's wrath was pacified. And then just to kind of sum it all up, and it's a little of what I said and a little of what else we see here. The judgment, it had a certain season. There was a specific time that had been planned out. There was an appropriate subject, the wicked Haman. There was a necessary satisfaction, the king's wrath. And then there was a merciless, swift, and sudden action. The cries for mercy went unheeded. Haman tried to convince Esther to save his life, and she did not do so. And folks, the Lord Jesus Christ is willing to save our life now. But you know what happened in Matthew chapter 4, I believe it is, where they came and they said, "Lord, Lord, we've prophesied in thy name, we've cast out devils, we've done many wonderful works." They're appealing to him. And he says, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you." We often use that passage to ask the question, and you should ask this question, and you should answer it hopefully right. Does the Lord Jesus Christ know you? Amen? I didn't say, does he know about you? Does he know you? I remember telling you this one time. I heard somebody get saved one time, and when they prayed, and I forgot their name, but they said, "Jesus, this is," and they gave their name. Like, "I'm introducing myself to you." But it's not a bad thought. Does the Lord know you? Did you talk to him today? Amen? Did you tell him your cares? Did you thank him for what he's done? Folks, every prayer ought to contain at least those two things. At least thank the Lord for what he's done and then present your needs to him. There also ought to be some confession in there somewhere and some worship. But we know God. Isn't that amazing? And he knows us. When Haman appealed, it was too late. And when people die, it's too late. Revelation 14:11 says this, "The smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. They have no rest day or night, who worship the beast in his image, whoever received the mark of his name." It's just a picture of the way people are going to be judged. And the Bible says in Mark, "Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched." The Jehovah's Witnesses could only hope and wish that they were right when they believe in total annihilation, the doctrine that you cease to exist when you die. You do not cease to exist. You are judged for all eternity. Folks, judgment is real. And God is a God that judges all sin. "The fate of the wicked is destruction." Romans 2:9 says, "Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile." Of course, Romans is trying to convince the Jews and the Gentiles that they're all guilty and they all need Christ. "You cannot satisfy God with petty changes in your life. He gave his son to die for our sins." What is Jesus in your life? Do you think, when I ask you, who is Jesus to you, what words come to mind? I hope Savior is one of them. Amen? Lord, is that a good word? I love to hear the folks pray in Mexico because they start their prayer, they say, "Señor," talking to God. And I think of Señor, I think of the word boss, somebody who's in charge. Is Lord in charge in your life? Amen? Is he in charge throughout your day or just when you need him? Ought to be all the time, amen? Isaiah 53:5. Here's who he is. "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed." You see, he's our Savior. We sent the Lord Jesus Christ to the cross. Our sins nailed him to that cross. His blood paid for and cleansed us from our sins. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him because of what we had done. And now every human being has one of two choices. They can accept him as their Savior or they can reject him. And those that reject him are going to face exactly the same kind of judgment that Haman faced. It's going to come at an appointed time. It is going to come on an appropriate subject. It is going to come in a way that satisfies the wrath of God. It's going to be swift and irreversible. Why would we have evangelistic meetings? I know it can be good for our church if we'll participate. Amen? I mean, last time I checked, I don't need to get saved again. Never will, by the way. And so why would I come to a week of meetings with a fellow who's going to preach a lot about salvation? Because that's not all he's going to preach about, is it? He's going to preach the Word of God. And you listen to the Word of God Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. I think it'll make a difference in your life. I've been to a bunch of evangelistic meetings, and I can remember more than once coming away going, wow, I'm sure glad I was here. Not just once or twice, but all week long. But we would also like to see some folks get saved, wouldn't we? And if Vision Baptist Church, if we worked as hard as we could 5 years and saw one soul get saved, that'd be worth it. Hope we see more than that, amen? I hope some of the folks that have been coming to church that might think they're saved, or they're not sure they're saved, or they're not really saved, but they don't know, I hope they come out and get saved in 2 weeks. I hope some folks we've never seen come to church and get saved. Last night, Brother Dahlman and Mr. Kaufman went down the street and invited some folks out to the meetings. I hope some of them come and get saved. In fact, I think we should not just hope, we should pray. Amen? No, there is a judgment. It is eternal. It is horrible. The wicked shall be turned into hell, Psalm 9:17. When judgment comes, it is too late. And they're going to get what they deserve, what we all deserved. It's just the nature of the wicked to despise and attack the righteous. Haman's just another picture of a lost person. They do not accept the Lord Jesus Christ. They do not appreciate or even care for. In fact, they dislike, despise, or hate his people. And then you got to see the devil himself here just a little bit, don't you? Because after all, isn't that what his goal was to destroy the Jews? And to destroy God's people, and God's going to judge him too. It amazes me, not one single thing anybody has ever done against God is going to be left undealt with. Not one of my sins, not one of your sins. Now there's a little footnote, parentheses, I need to put on this message. This morning in Bible class, we were talking about Lot. You remember Lot. Abraham's nephew, and God told Abraham, get away from your kindred, and Lot stuck to Abraham and didn't leave and didn't leave and didn't leave. They went to Egypt, and Lot went, and they came out of Egypt. Lot's still there, and finally, they had so many cattle, they couldn't stay in one place, and Abram says to Lot, we got to separate. Which way do you want to go? You go that way, I'll go this way. Lot looks up and sees the well-watered plain. He was a man that was governed by his eyes and what he saw, what looked good to him. And he wound up living in Sodom. And he lost everything. He lost all of his possessions. When the city was destroyed, his possessions were all destroyed. His wife turned back and became a pillar of salt. His wife had two daughters. His sons-in-law didn't even come out of the city. They were killed inside the city. And his two daughters got him drunk, got pregnant by him, and had two people. I think it's the Ammonites and... I can't remember the other one, but they became bitter enemies of God's people. Moabites, maybe, I can't remember. And they became bitter enemies of God's people. Lot lost everything. Want to hear the shocking thing? Lot was saved. 2 Peter chapter 2 says, and delivered just Lot. That word just doesn't mean only, it means justified. Vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. You're going to see Lot in heaven. I don't know about his wife. I don't know about his daughters. I don't know about his sons-in-law. But you're going to see Lot in heaven. He was righteous. Do not think that as a Christian you can live a wicked life and that there's no price. And you may not call it the judgment of God. You might just call it the wages of sin. But the fact of the matter is, folks, sin has a price. Amen? Be careful how you live your life. Oh, but I am at peace with the fact that, folks, Christ paid for my sins. Amen? Paid for yours as well. We're not going to face this kind of judgment. We're going to face, well, in fact, it's not a face so much I'm thinking about as enjoy. We're going to enjoy the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ for all eternity. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Folks like Randy Starr's mother-in-law, Shirley's mother, saved, got cancer. It's a rough way to die. But someday soon she'll step into eternity like loved ones that we've known here in our church. And they'll be there for all eternity. And we'll go join them someday. Amen. So just as horrible as judgment is, righteousness and salvation is just that sweet. And You just look back and you think of Haman. You got what you deserved. You got what you asked for. You got what you earned. You got judged because you chose to be wicked. Because, folks, God's a righteous judge. Let's all stand and pray.